Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
I have just heard your commentary about the tongue, wrote a listener. The friend added, I am one of those who is brutally frank. I know the truth is bitter, but my greatest defect is to tell a person what wrong he has done and what he ought not to do. Is it unchristian? It is amazing to me how many folks, such as the woman who wrote, feel compelled to point out other people's flaws. As an occasional golfer, my drives sometimes stray. And on one occasion, instead of the ball landing on the fairway, my golf ball landed on the tile roof of a home nearby. Thinking I might have done some damage, I approached the house as a man came flying out the door, a towel draped around him. I started to apologize, but was interrupted by his screaming, "You know, you're a terrible golfer." Right. His pointing out what I already knew really made my day. How important is it to state the obvious? Telling your friend how much weight she has gained. Pointing out that your brother has less hair than you do. Reminding your wife that she is not nearly as good a cook as your mother. Actually, some people, usually those with very few friends, feel called to tell everyone what's wrong with them. Brutally frank was the term the woman used who wrote to me. But was Jesus brutally frank with people? Or did he demonstrate tenderness and kindness? Are kindness and compassion elements of weakness? Or are there times when you need to be frank and candid and times when you need sensitivity and restraint? To the prostitute who was entrapped by religious leaders striving to ensnare Jesus himself, he quietly and gently said, "Woman, where are those accusers of you? Has no one condemned you?" But to the religious leaders of his day, men who were hypocritical and deceitful, Jesus was acerbic and blunt. Believe me, he got their attention when he addressed them saying, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" The occasion determined the tone of voice and the strength of the words he used. So should it be with us today. How you address a person and the tone of voice you use determines the response you can expect. When you are gentle, people respond the same way. When you are angry and loud, you can expect the same in response. Blaise Pascal, the French writer, said, "Cold words freeze people, and hot words scorch them, and bitter words make them bitter, and wrathful words make them wrathful." Kind words also produce their own image on men's souls, and a beautiful image it is. They soothe, quiet, and comfort the hearer. Civility has been in decline along with kindness, consideration, and compassion. Bluntness has given way to vulgarity and coarseness. Many people lace their speech with profanity, even oblivious to what they're saying. And subsequently, their children pick up the same expressions, completely unaware of the sexual innuendos and the vulgarity of what they're saying. So where does all of this leave us? Your speech, whether intentional or habitual, to the point of being unaware of what you are saying, is you. Speech is the blueprint of the personality, says a Menninger Foundation psychologist. What you say represents what you are. A good man, said Jesus, produces good deeds from a good heart, adding, and an evil man produces evil deeds from his hidden wickedness. Whatever is in the heart, he said, overflows into speech. Remember, what you say is a reflection of what you are. And what you are is your choice, so choose wisely.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.